views and opinions expressed on the following podcast are those of the persons appearing on the program and not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada. Welcome to another edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I'm your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc. Yeah, that's me. And again, welcome, welcome. Did I say welcome? Yes, I did. Club ADHD is part of a three-prong approach when it comes to Club ADHD. We've got the podcast, we have the Twitter account, and we have the Facebook page. And it's all supported by the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada, otherwise known as CADAC. That's C-A-D-D-A-C. Drop a .ca in there, put it in your web browser, and you can check out their website. A lot of information on that site, things that can inspire you, and things that you can learn about ADHD and how to publicize and gain support for all of us. Because if that's what we can do, and if we're successful, we'll all benefit. And that's what Club ADHD is really all about. A place for us, a safe place for adults with ADHD, where we can exchange stories and help each other and perhaps band together in just making people aware of the real facts about ADHD. It's not all negative. No, we have lots of positives. And the more people will understand that, they can, you know, use us for their own benefit, not abuse us. But if they win, we win. If it's on a fair level playing field, it's good for all of us. So there you have that. As far as what I'm going through these days, well, I told you about my little problem when it came to leaving the country of Canada. Not necessarily the problem of leaving it for a brief vacation that, thanks to our daughters, are helping us with or helped us with, but it was the problem of getting back because my paperwork wasn't quite in order. Was it as a result of my ADHD? Yeah, it was. Okay, I really just agonized over it. And as a result, I just, you know, stopped. Then I realized, hey, this is not going to help anyone. I want to go on this trip with my family. So I went ahead and did something. I talked to the right people. Bottom line, my fears, they didn't come to fruition. I made it back. And I got the proper paperwork. Everything is okay. So don't let some of the negatives in your life, especially if they're big. And yeah, I'm still going through some negatives here, folks. You know, if we let them take over, if we say, yeah, my damn ADHD, look where I'm at, or my depression or whatever, we're just going to wallow and nothing is going to happen. We have to put our ADHD brain into action. And that's what I did. It worked out. And I'm hoping it will continue to work out as I just faced another challenge. It's called, I think we need a new roof. And boy, do we ever. And yeah, I lost a bit of income recently. Well, a lot. And some of that income could have paid for that roof, but it's not there. So I have to figure out a way on how to generate some funds and to get back on track. Just got to be positive. Just keep at it. And if you're wallowing in your own doubt or even your own pity, I urge you to do what you can to get out of it. I don't know what happened to me. It was like a light switch came on that all of a sudden things cleared a bit, and I said to myself that, well, you know, I have benefits. A lot of them I can attribute to ADHD, and I'm sure you have the similar benefits. Maybe not the exact benefits, but ADHD comes as a total package, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Get that good out and make it work for you. There, that's my soapbox here for today. I also want to mention a movie I recently saw. It's called Mission of Honor. If you have Netflix, and thank you to our daughter, yes, we do have Netflix, I urge you to check it out. Even if you're not into World War II movies or war movies, it's much more than that. because the whole premise is World War II, Polish flyers go to England, go to Britain to fly for them, for the RAF. And when they first arrive, a lot of people thought, well, what do these people know? Boy, they're just so rowdy, and they're this and then that. I bet they can't fly worth a darn, and yep, to hell with those guys. Well, yeah, they were rowdy, and they were viewed as being, you know, drinkers, and rowdy guys. But once they got up there, yeah, they were cocky. They were training. They did show a lot of potential. Once they got together and they accepted the direction of the RAF, because they themselves thought, hey, England, oof, what do they know? Or Britain, British flyers. So it was a two-way street. Each side didn't think the other could do what they could do. Well, the bottom line is that they formed together and they did a lot. One of the best flying squadrons to come out of Britain in World War II. And the great thing about it, it's a true story. And after we saw the movie, I said to my wife, you know, this is kind of a story that can be worked into ADHD. A lot of people view us as rowdy and just not disciplined and unfocused. But we know different. So we have to maybe band together and get a little more, I don't know, good PR. Kind of quash some of our rowdy parts. Well, not quash, but settle them down. And focus on the positives that we have in order to make a change. So I thought, that's a good movie to check out, especially if you have ADHD. So I urge you to do that. That's Mission of Honor. That's the name of the movie. Here, I'm becoming a movie critic now. Who would have thunk? Now, we've got our special TNT lined up for you. What's that? Well, that's a new part of Club ADHD, the podcast. That's our feature. Tips and tricks. Let's get to that right now. Club ADHD, the podcast, is the place. And now it's time for Club ADHD's TNT. Otherwise known as tips and tricks. And now we go to our resident Club ADHD ADHD coach. Well, I repeated myself, but I had to do it. His name is Jason Froetz. And yes, he too has ADHD. And Jason is going to start off this tip with a question. Take it away, Jason.
Has anybody out there ever felt, you know, gosh, I've got this big thing I got to do. I've got this big project at work or at school, and I just can't get started. I don't know where to start. I don't know why I can't. It just feels difficult to crack the ice. So if anybody's felt that or experienced that, as I have, there are some ways that I've learned over the years that helped me and have helped a lot of clients. A lot of clients have shown me some tips and tricks actually over the years. So this is one of them. So if you ever experienced, you know, difficulty getting started on something, one of the things that you can do that can be most helpful is ask yourself a better question at the time. So more helpful questioning. Something I do as a coach, I try to do as a coach, is to ask the most helpful question I can to my clients about what's getting in the way. But you can do this yourself. So asking a better question or a more helpful question, such as, what's wrapped around this obstacle? You know, we ADDers, often it's not something logical. Someone else might say, well, just get started. I had a boss who used to tell me, Jason, Nike it, just do it. And I'd say to myself, I would love to just do it, but that isn't helpful. I don't know how to just do it. And so what I learned over the years was, if I could ask myself a better question, something like, what's getting in the way, to create some self-awareness, or what's emotionally wrapped around this? And often it could be fear, because we might have touched that hot stove one day. We might have been reprimanded for speaking out in class, or we didn't do well on an assignment, or whatever it is. There's usually something emotional, I find, wrapped around some of these tasks that we find difficult to get started on. So if you can ask yourself, what do I feel about this? Is it, am I fearing failure? Am I fearing that I'm going to get into this and I'm going to go down a rabbit hole and I'm going to waste lots and lots of time and get distracted on something? Mm-hmm. Or is it, you know, is this just too big? I don't know what to do. Maybe it's not clear enough. So you could ask yourself, how do I make this more clear? Or what is expected of me for this task? Separating out your own fear from what logic would dictate or what the real task is can be really, really helpful. So I think that's my tip of the day, right, Russ, is really just ask more helpful questions to yourself and be gentle with yourself. Okay. Sometimes we can be so self-deprecating, so hard on ourselves that asking a question like, why does this always happen to me? Or how come I'm such a nincompoop or something? Those are not helpful questions. So
they're very vague, as you say. I mean, what I'm getting from this is that the key that you're giving us is to break it down maybe into smaller bites so we can understand what the real task is and what is expected of that task.
That's it. That's it, Russ. Exactly. It's about, I think, asking more helpful questions allows us to break it down, to break it out into its little pieces. And maybe one of those pieces is emotional, you know, and once we can deal with, you know, the actual emotion of it and say, wait a sec here, I think I'm going to be okay with this. I can see the light at the end of the tunnel with this task. I don't need to feel scared about this.
I hear what you're saying. Ask questions to yourself, break it down, and then deal with it individually. Good stuff. Well, what do you know? We're going to cross that big pond again as we stop in England. Doing a lot in the UK these days, but hey, that's okay. ADHD knows no boundaries, and we can learn from anyone, anywhere. And that's what we're doing right now. We're going to speak with Ben. Ben is a medical practitioner. He has a very important job in the medical field. He also has ADHD. Now, he's known about his ADHD for many years. However, as a result of a recent ADHD Awareness Month, last October, combined with the fact that he came across information about a Scottish politician who announced that he too has ADHD and is really pushing for ADHD awareness, Ben thought, well, I'm not going to hide my ADHD anymore. I will let it be known. And that's what he did. And in doing so, he's learned more about his ADHD. And with that information, it changed his life. Let's talk to Ben on ADHD, the podcast. As per usual, I ask the question, when were you diagnosed with ADHD?
I was first diagnosed when I was 26 into 27. When I was studying at university for my profession within healthcare.
So up until that time, did you realize that there was something different about you?
When I was a child, I was apparently quite difficult in that I had boundless energy. I remember times when I woke up really early in the morning. I found sensory things very difficult to manage, really weird things that now I know that people would understand. But if you were to talk to a neurotypical, it would sound bizarre. So there was this pattern of behavior. Primary school was really tough.
Yeah.
Because people didn't really understand it much. The advice to my parents were to change my diet, because at the time they believed that it was to do with E-numbers, high sugar levels, and they basically cut everything out like you would treat an allergy, like it was an allergy, a reaction. Really? But now, of course, we know that, yes, diet's really important. I'm finding that out now, recently. But also, these created ADHD-esque traits in neurotypical people. It may have helped us a little bit, but it was a small amount to go to help with the conditions and to help with everyday life. So throughout that, I was told I'd grow out of it, which I believe is pretty commonplace ideology, that you just grow out of it. You're a kid and it's a kid issue and your brain develops and there's a magic wand that's waved over it and all of a sudden, magically, you're cured. But that's, alas, not the case.
What time frame are we talking about? Are we talking about 2000s, 1990s, 80s?
Right. So I was born in 1981, showing how old I am. And pretty much from about, I reckon from about the age of 6 to 8 was when the onset of where my mum went to get support, of which there was very little. And then probably around past primary school and into sort of secondary school was where it was kind of like I was supposedly in quotes grown out of it.
Right.
And but I really struggled. You know, I hated school. Apart from really weird teachers, I absolutely adored my religious education and contemporary issues teacher because she was mad as a box of frogs, but she was so engaging. The rest of the time, I struggled to concentrate. I was bored. I didn't feel I was challenged. And the laborious kind of effort to do homework, to be organized and things like that was a nightmare. But you are told you've grown out of it. And I carried on like that through college. But then at the last minute, thanks to the benefits of ADHD, which I hope people do relate to.
Sure.
At the last minute, things kick in because you're like, you have that burst of adrenaline and stress that we know that activates our dopamine levels. And so at the back end of high school, I suddenly was down to get D's, E's and fails in most of the subjects. And then I thought, oh, I should really do something. So I drank a bucket of coffee, AKA self-medicating.
Yeah.
And I managed to come out with B's and C's, which everyone just nearly fell over themselves because that's what we do when we're put into those tight situations. We do that. But even then, I didn't recognize that that was the case. At college, I passed my course with merit, which was an awful course. I never enjoyed it. But I did learn how to play street basketball, play the guitar, played in the band and ride a motorcycle, which was way more interesting. But it was a real struggle. And right through to trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life, failed jobs, failed relationships, and then getting to university. My wife, before we were married, she said, I think you still have it. And I stumbled across a book in the library at university it was for medical professionals within psychiatry, and it was about how to diagnose ADHD. So I picked it up just out of interest and had a quick read. And I was like, oh, holy moly, that's me. All these descriptions are me. And so I went to get a diagnosis, and that was the part of my second part of my journey, really. So up until the age of 26, I pretty much struggled. But then unknowingly, you just feel you fail at normal. I think, you know, Jessica, you're familiar with How to ADHD?
Mm-hmm.
She put it best. She's amazing. She talks about failing at normal and has supported all of the tribe in saying that, you know, we're not failures at normal. We're not normal, so we're not failing at normal. And for a long time, I've struggled with the idea that I was failing at normal.
The thing is, what is normal to us is abnormal to everyone else. But you were able figure it out up until that time. I mean, you mentioned about, you know, self-medication with the coffee and everything. You were able to figure out that type of stimulation is going to work best for you. I mean, how did you come upon this?
I guess it's a thing of trial and error. Do you know what I mean? You stumble across something and that works, and it's just coincidence and trial and error. And you go, well, if I drink this thing, it makes me feel better. Or mm-hmm. obviously on the reverse side of that is alcohol.
Yeah.
You stimulate to help your brain function normally, in quotes, but then you need to come down as well and bring yourself down to normal levels and normal activities. If you can't let your ADHD reign free, which is something I've recently liberated in quotes coming out.
Yeah, we'll touch upon that. That's very interesting. Yep.
Yeah, you have to upper and downer. I've spent the vast majority of my adult life uppering and downering, whether it with medication, which does a good job in augmenting my kind of ability to process things and to function, but also the alcohol, which helps bring you down again, which have now, with this new liberation, which we're going to talk about, and actually accepting who I am and having others just take me or leave me kind of thing, I've actually given up alcohol.
Now, it sounds like that when you got to the age 27 and you read that book, just by the way you said it just now, it didn't sound like much of a revelation as opposed to, well, maybe it sounded almost like kind of a penalty, I guess, the way that you accepted it. Am I reading that right?
I think so. I feel that, and hopefully people will relate as well who have ADHD, that it's a double-edged sword. So yes, it was nice to go, okay, there could be a reason for this. I'm not actually weird, broken, a failure, and struggling where people thrive, at things people thrive at. It could be that I have a condition. So that was a nice notion in itself. But actually the flip side of that is, yeah, but then I have ADHD. And throughout my life, I've had in my childhood, primary school especially, extremely negative attitudes towards it, and bullying from teachers and the children. And so to understand that you might get another diagnosis as an adult is quite foreboding as well as helpful. You go, okay, I get to know my enemy, but I don't like to call it an enemy anymore. It's not an enemy.
So officially, back when you were a child, you were diagnosed back then?
We say officially, it was a general practitioner who diagnosed me himself to my parents and told me that the recommendation was diet change, and that was it. This is going back into the mid to late 80s. And so if you want to call it an official diagnosis, I don't think that's the case, is it really?
I guess what I'm getting at is the fact that did this person put that label on it, ADHD?
Yes, very much so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the reason I ask is that so many people, up until their official diagnosis, they have this preconceived notion when it comes to ADHD, myself included. Before I was diagnosed, I never thought that I had that because I didn't know what that was.
I see. Yeah, that makes sense. So it's slightly different for me, isn't it? Because I've had this loose diagnosis that I've had to sort of carry with me and be told that you've grown out of it. So it's interesting how people, different people in our community do arrive at a diagnosis, whether it be that there's something they've carried on. And then it's like there's this kind of interim period where they should have grown out of it.
Sure.
And then gone back for a diagnosis or a fresh diagnosis and they've never heard of it. And I don't know which is better, really. I think it would have been nice to have discovered it and then been diagnosed.
Yeah, I guess. The thing is, you always had it. And between you and me and the many people who are listening, you very rarely grow out of it. That's kind of a myth. It does happen, but not all that often. Now, here you are at 27. You're officially diagnosed. How old are you now?
I have to think about this now. okay. That's bad, isn't it? That's a bad sign.
Take off your shoes. 38. Okay, so
38, yeah.
You went 11 years knowing, but kept it to yourself.
Yeah, pretty much. With aside from close friends and people that are trusted, and there was still within that people that I told that reacted badly and that had negative things happen. Subtle.
The fact that you work in the medical field, did that have an impact? Were you afraid to maybe that you might be perceived differently?
Absolutely. That was the biggest thing I struggled with. There was two things. There was the army and my job in healthcare and the medical side. But that was a real kicker because I felt I need to think about this just to articulate it properly. I felt duty bound to accept any help that was given because I wanted to do the best for my patients and for my colleagues. So medication, CBT, anything I could get to prove that I could be a good practitioner. And also then the guilt and the shame that you have this and the worry that this stops you being a good practitioner. Ironically, the condition has been the best thing to be an effective practitioner in the role I do. I work in critical situations. We work in A&E departments or ERs, stabilizing critical patients as part of the anesthetic team. We do complex cases in theatres. We do emergencies in maternity, cardiac arrests. And that is just right up the street for ADHD. And coming to peace with that and is a good thing. But at the time, right up until like 3 weeks ago, I lived in constant fear that somebody would find out and it would be an issue. But it's not.
Now, you mentioned something that really got my brain going here. You mentioned the army?
Irony, yeah.
Oh, the irony. I thought you said army. I was like, oh, he's in the armed forces. My goodness.
Sorry. I mentioned the army and irony, which sounds a little similar.
So yeah, no, the were army, you in the army?
Yeah. No, this is a real kicker, this one. And it might sound a bit disjointed, but I'm sure our community is used to this. We're skipping around from time frames here. But yeah, when I was, it was probably about 8 years ago. So I would have been just about 30. I wanted to join the Army Medics because my chief goal, my main goal in life is, was to help out with disaster relief internationally. I've been turned down because of my profession, turned down rightly for different organizations. And then I thought about the Army, and it's the reserves, the medic reserves. So right. This excited me, and I went along. And there was stations. It was like an open day, so there were stations where we had to do things. They interviewed us. We talked about it. I'm an advanced life support instructor in the UK, and they were really pleased about that. I'm a clinical educator. They need instructors, so they were firing me up with all these ideas. Oh, we really need you. We want you. I was pulled to one side because I'd been watched and shown aptitude at all the stations. So they wanted to fast track me, my application. So you can imagine that I was on top of the world. I was like, wow, this might be something where my brain fits into. I'm activated, I'm stimulated,
sure.
All this new learning. And as you know yourself, everyone's has their own things with ADHD. So I don't want to have a sweeping statement, but things we're good at, we can pick if we want to, and that's the key thing. If we want to,
yeah,
we can pick up things extremely quickly.
But if we don't want to, forget about it. Yeah, if it doesn't interest us, yeah. So okay, go on.
Yeah.
So
I was extremely happy, and my dream was starting to come true, and so I applied, and then there was that bit that came, which I thought was going to come. Which said you have to say about any medical conditions, be they physical or mental, psychological or mental. Yeah. So, and if you, there was a big caveat on it that said, if you lie about this, by the way, it's a legal matter.
Oh,
and obviously
all right.
with our healthcare professional status, we have a duty to be law abiding at all times. Mm-hmm. Anything in our day-to-day life or any actions we take outside our role, we could get struck off. Essentially, so I didn't want to lie. So I thought, oh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to tell them, but I'm going to have to.
Yeah.
So I put it on my application, and then it went off, and then they got a phone call, and they said, yeah, unfortunately, we don't take people on that have ADHD.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, okay. And then, but he said, but listen, this is what they always do. Don't worry about it, because what happens is, if you're not that interested really in the army, people don't apply. If you are, that's a sign that you're really interested. So if you come back and say, no, I think I'll be okay, actually, and this is my reasoning, you'll be fine. So I got in touch with my consultant for adult ADHD team, which have been in Cheshire, which have been absolutely fantastic and really been a part of the process in my development. My consultant, I asked Dr. M, we'll call him, I asked him to help me with it, and he said, of course I will, Ben, but I just want to tell you, these guys won't budge. The amount of people I refer to them who would be perfect for the army thanks to the traits of ADHD, they turn away because it's archaic. He says, but you know what, I want to try for you. He wrote a 3-page statement, supportive document, saying this man is married, he has children, he's a healthcare professional, he's an educator. These things negate anything negative you think about ADHD, and it was a huge thing. All the evidence he had, evidence base from recent years, and they just it was an anxious wait. Because I always think, do you know what? You don't ask, you don't get. I don't like it when mm-hmm. people say, oh, they never do X. That's one of my triggers. I go, well, let's try.
Yeah.
And quite often I get what I want to, or achieve what I want to achieve. And so the phone call came back, and it wasn't good. It wasn't a phone call. It was a letter. It was a very impersonal letter saying that they reviewed it. No, it wasn't something they're willing to do. But he said that my consultant said, there is a way, though. But you won't like it. And I said, well, tell me, because I'm really desperate to make this happen. Well, you have to convince them that you don't have it anymore, stop your medication for 3 years, and then do it. So yeah. I said, I have to lie about my condition and say I don't have it anymore, which we all know is absolute,
right?
You know what?
Yeah, and, you're just feeding on that false information.
Yes. So this was something that's legal. I could basically have said that I don't have it anymore, stop taking my medication, and then they'd have let me in, knowing me, myself, and my consultant, knowing full well that I still had it. It doesn't go away like that. And I had a really hard think. It was the worst day of possibly my life, because imagine this is what happens to me and probably to other people that are listening. I really hope this connects with you, because we get built up and built up and built up, mm-hmm. and then crash down again. And that happens a lot, where people think we're absolutely amazing, then they see the little things that cracks, that were things that we're not so great at, and then it all degrades and falls again, and we have to build things back up.
Ben, that's the frustration. I mean, if people would only wake up and realize that we ADHDers, we have a lot to offer, probably more so than the normal people, and they should adapt. If it takes a little adaptation, so be it, because the benefits outweigh the adaptations. I mean, we have so much to offer, and people can benefit even on a personal note for them, but they just feed into that wrong information, and your story is a classic example.
Right, yeah. So you can imagine the choice I made, because I'm talking to you now.
Well, that's thing. Yeah, that's, you went through that. Now, I've got to ask, I mean, here you went through that time, and 13 years later, or however many years, you're in the medical field, and now you decide, hey, I'm going to let people know. I mean, what sparked you to do that? Not to say
really,
I think it's terrific. I think it's terrific that you're doing it.
Yeah, it was. It's an interesting. This is why I'm really pleased that you've got in contact, because this is something that I want people to hear, and how it's affected me, because it's a good heads up. What happened was, it's ADHD Awareness Month just gone yesterday, just finished.
October.
It's been wonderful. Yeah, October ADHD Awareness Month hashtag. It's been so good. I've promoted and shared and promoted. The thing that brought me to do it, I was in quite a bad place, because I struggled. I had a really big downer, and I was struggling personally, and a lot of things have changed. And I watched, there's a politician, I want to get his name right, he's a Scottish politician, and he has ADHD, and he came out in Parliament to talk about it, and to say he would be championing ADHD and other non-neurotypical issues for his constituents. And I watched this thing, and I was in tears. I'm in an office, I'm doing my non-clinical work, my education side of things, and I was actually shedding tears and trying to hide it, because I don't like emoting in front of people at the best of times. So, and I was just watching this guy, I thought, you were so brave, you're so bold, you're in a profession like me that's, you know, this, if anyone's going to think anything negative, it's going to be some politicians, maybe, and that's my view, it might be wrong. And I thought to myself, I need to step up. I need to step up with him. And that's literally, I got in contact with him to thank him. And I said, I've done this with you. I've stepped up, and I'm going to do the same. So I wrote a post on Facebook. I know that's cliche, but I did a post on Facebook, and I put the hashtag for Awareness Month, and just, I'll send it to you, obviously, so you can have a read of it if you want to use it.
Yeah.
But I just said, do you know what? It's Awareness Month. You need to check out this guy. He's a hero. I don't mean that in any short words. He is a hero. He stood up, and he did it. And now I'm going to stand up with him. We're united, and it's for my tribe as well. And I have ADHD. I have a dual diagnosis, so I suffer with mild ASD symptoms as well, which I believe go hand in hand mostly. Mm-hmm. And I said, I have this condition, these conditions, and do you know what? And it affects me in this way. And I use the hashtag from the anti-Netflix production. I take my meds because so that it helps my brain organize and process thoughts. It helps my overstimulation. It helps my hyperacusia. It helps lots of different things. And it helps me do my job to the best of my ability, which I intend to do. And I said at the end of it, this might not connect with everyone, but that's me. And I'm not ashamed anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to hide.
Ben, I'm going to give you a round of applause for that. Yeah. I do that often when it's necessary, and it is very necessary. And this politician you speak of, is his name Daniel Johnson?
It is. Yeah, okay, I was going to say his name, but I wanted to check my facts, but you've done it for me already. Absolute hero. So please check him out. And he is a hero because, do you know what? I saw him and I just felt so proud of him. And so I want to say ashamed of myself. That's probably the wrong word to use, but I did. I felt I should be stepping up. You know, like, for example, I want to use the analogy of somebody getting beaten up in the street, and you know how some people just step up and step in.
Sure.
I felt, well, this is my time to do that as well. Difficult analogy, but I felt this was it. This was him stepping up, and he was on his own, and he stood up in Parliament on his own, and I wanted to stand with him in a sense, and I did, and I felt good. But this is the message to get across now, moving into the post coming out with my condition.
Well, that's the thing. It only takes one person, and then it just feeds, and you're one person again, and people are listening to this around the world, and who knows, maybe you are inspiring somebody else to say, hey, yeah, I've got ADHD, it's real, deal with it.
Yeah.
Now, have you had any ramifications, negative feedback with people who have heard that, oh, Ben is ADHD, I didn't know that?
No, not this instance. Beforehand, when I mentioned the fact that I'd spoken to people before, who I thought close friends, people I could trust, there's probably about 20% of them that would behave differently around me, cut off ties. And the worst one I had was some friends who I told, and they seemed to be okay with it. And this is the passive aggressive bit, because, you know, it's 2016 at the time. 2016, we can't really go say anything about anything because somebody will get offended. So it turns into this insidious passive aggressive responses. I had one of their kids on my shoulders just having a laugh, and my kids were there as well, and one of them jogged over to the husband and whispered something in his ear, and then he darted over and said, oh, I'll take him off you. I knew what it was.
Wow.
There's no other reason, and I could just see the look on the face of, he's going to just randomly just throw him in the air and run off and go crazy and strip off naked and run around the field. It's like, oh man. And I felt my heart sink. It's like, that's what people think. And it's these little things. Hopefully this is building a picture over my life that shows you why exactly one would feel the need to hide it and to not express it. So it was a big deal.
Yeah. You become the topic of a whispering, people just spreading bad news about Ben. Oh boy, he's a little you know what, and they just don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. So ramifications. I'm going to divert this into two sections.
Okay.
One is positive and one is negative.
All right.
And this is for coming out. The negative sides of it has been, it's changed me more than I thought it would. It was an impulsive thing that I wanted to stand up and be measured by society, by people that know me, by my professions, everything. I'm happy. I just let go and let myself be judged. So the positive things, people at work are overwhelmingly supportive.
Great.
Absolutely brilliant. I mean, my manager, Jane, I'm going to say her first name. She would not mind that at all. She has been, she knew a while back. I told her probably about a year and a half ago. And she said, well, thank goodness for ADHD then, because the role they've put me in to help with experimental teaching methods. She said, you're perfect.
Oh, and that's
terrific.
If that's
part of your condition, that's no big deal.
That's terrific. I mean, she gets it. She understands it, that, hey, yeah, you've got ADHD and you are a square peg and we're going to put you in a square hole and it's going to be perfect or almost perfect.
That's a really good way of putting it. And in synopsis, that's pretty much what happened. And what do you need? Well, sometimes I need to go home, sitting in the office. I don't have a party filter. I listen to every single noise, conversation. It all goes in. It all gets processed. I find things difficult and overwhelming. Sometimes I just have to get out and work from home. No problem. What else do you need? Well, I struggle with dates and things, so people just need to give me a bit of slack if I miss a meeting or things like that, or help me do that. And they have people to help me, remind me regularly to do things. And I've got my own systems that I'm trying to improve on. Regular check-ins as well. She meets with me at least once a month, and it's not just to talk about work. We talk about personal stuff.
Wow.
And how am I? And it's just and my other managers who know now, obviously, it doesn't bother them at all. And that's just a beautiful thing. They said the negatives of it are grossly outweighed by the positives.
Sure.
How you teach, how you inspire, how you come up with creative ideas that would take people days to think of, how you just have the confidence to go, do you know what, I'm going to try this and it's going to work.
Ben, you know, I've got maths. A feeling, Ben. I got another feeling coming out. Another feeling for a round of applause for your your managers. They really get it and they understand the benefits, and it's going to help them too. Going to make them look good.
And if any potential employers are listening because they want to understand it, well done. I do applaud you for listening to try and understand ADHD and your employer. They will be the best thing you have if you work with them and make adjustments. You'll see them shine.
Now, what are the negatives?
The negatives is how it's affected my personality and how it's affected me as a person.
How so?
Because I can't quite explain it, but it kind of had a really bad, it's a difficult term. You might be able to help me articulate it when you hear. I mean that after holding on that for mm-hmm. so long, and being in fear for so long, and being in self-doubt for so long, and being low ebbs and having to build myself back up constantly, and then all of a sudden imagine that that's gone.
Right.
It left me having to sort of rediscover who I am. And when you embrace ADHD and you don't numb it, I'm not saying it's okay, it's not okay to do whatever you guys need to do, be that have a drink or have take a cannabis or whatever. This is non-judgmental, it's just what works for me. But I changed my diet, I stopped drinking, I've now reduced my meds because of that, not because I wanted to, it's because naturally I don't need them as much, and my brain's pretty much on fire. I'm so much better at organizing, remembering dates, remembering things, my cognitive function's better. So this sounds positive, but then it's had negative effects on certain relationships. I've felt different. I've had to rediscover myself in that.
Well, it sounds like you've won.
Yeah, it's tough.
What I'm
it's
getting,
really tough.
What I'm sensing is that it sort of sounds like you missed the secret. That element in your life that was a big part of your life, the secret is gone. It's out now. And two, I would caution you. I mean, I'm not a medical professional. I've just been around the block when it comes to ADHD. Yeah. Is that how can I put this? Don't just because knowledge is power and you're altering some things in life. And as a result, you could fall into the trap of shying away from the things that have helped you in the past because you know more. And let's face it. Part of you has changed. You know more about your ADHD, and you're probably thinking a little different. I mean, that's just my take on that.
Yeah, that's really good advice, actually. But it's not, I've probably put that across wrong. It's not that I want to stop my meds at all. They still augment and help. I intend to keep those going, and that is good advice.
So now that you know more, has that impacted some of the ways that you are doing things in your life now?
I've upped my activity. So I go to the gym every day now.
Great.
With a friend, close friend. So I've upped that more in a positive way. I'm not,
sure.
I'm not a gym kind of freak or anything. I've changed my diet to less carbs and things like that. And Jessica again talks about this, our brains love high protein, high vegetable, high fruit. So I've gone with that and plenty of water, not drinking as well.
How long have you given up drinking?
I did it incidentally for Stoptober, but I've discovered that actually I'm much healthier and happier without it.
Oh, just recently
so,
then?
So only within this whole period of this all coming out and
Ben,
life
I get
change.
It. Give you another round of applause. I can't help it. It's either this or...
Thank you.
But that's great that you're taking the initiative to publicize, and we have to have more people like you to go out and say, hey, this is me and this is what I am, and it's real. A lot of people don't think that ADHD is real. What about in the hospital setting? What about coworkers there? You mentioned about your managers, but what about the people that you work with every day that might be on the same plane as you, or maybe the surgeons that you deal with? Have you had any negatives or positives or any reaction from them?
It's been on the whole positive. I've had no negatives from anyone about it, which has just been overwhelming. And the response on social media as well for me has been overwhelming, with support and messages of how good I am, how I've affected people, how I've inspired people, and it's all come out and back to me. And how the people aren't going to hear to judge. They love me how I am. And that's been phenomenal. In work, not a lot has changed, really, other than people check on me more often. And because it has been a roller coaster, and I think this whole thing, including the meds, I suspect I'll settle out to go back to my routine, as you said. Mm-hmm. And that's really good advice for everyone. You're right. You should do these adjustments if you feel the need to, within cahoots with your consultant, to make sure that you're not doing anything acute. That's really good advice. They've been great. The best, I'll give you a little story to give you an idea about this. So I'm sat in a table in the coffee room, and I'm writing a paper at the moment about how I'm using computer games to teach human factors. Okay. And I'm sending it off to BMJ Stell, which is a medical journal. And I'm going through it, and I'm hyper-focused. And I'm reading through it, making adjustments and getting ideas. And I always keep a pad next to me to write down ideas and digressions so I can allow myself to do that. So I'm properly engaged. And then two of my colleagues come over and they say, oh hi, Ben. How's it going? We'll just sit here and have lunch. And my female colleague said, I don't think Ben wants to have anyone sit with him at the moment. I kind of went, I've got my earphones in. And then she goes, yeah, see, I told you, he doesn't want me to sit with him. And it sank in, and I kind of came out of my hyperfocus and then thought, I don't want to be an a-hole here.
Yeah, you don't want to appear standoffish, but really, I mean, you do want to be left alone.
I did, but then I kind of went, do you know what? It was because they did that, because they know now.
Okay.
And they said, yeah, let's move tables. And I was like, I took my earphones out and turned around to them and said, come and sit down next to me. Just spoilers, this table in the coffee room isn't my table. This isn't even my chair. You're very welcome to sit down. It's there me that go. Has the problem. You Great. Can sit down and we'll be fine. And the only reason I stopped and did that was purely because they reacted the way they did, which was to, oh yeah, this is something that Ben struggles with, blah, blah, blah. We'll leave him be. And that was so nice. And it's like, there's not that many tables in the coffee room. I can't have it's like, thanks guys, but you can't keep giving me a whole coffee table to myself.
But by the same token, I mean, you were very empathetic about it, and you knew how they were thinking, or you guessed correctly. And they really appreciated the fact that, hey, he said, it's not my table. Come on over. Now, Ben, I have to ask you this part. You've got the new, and I guess you could say improved Ben, or whatever, however you want to term it. How does your wife feel about all this?
She's very happy. But the thing that I've found, and this could go towards the negative side, is that I've discovered, especially without taking alcohol to help me sedate in the evenings and things like that. Not that it's every evening, by the way. I'm by no means a functional alcoholic. It's just a habitual thing that I wanted to experiment with getting leaving out. Was that I needed to be active more often. So I go regularly to do things, as probably is totally relatable to everyone listening to this who has ADHD. We have a few hobbies.
Does that mean that you're away from the home? Are you away from home more?
Yeah, that's been a consequence, because I can't be in I struggle with the rest, relax, sit in front of TV or things like that, which is everyone's entitled to do. And I've that's gotten worse. That element's gotten worse. I said to my wife that it's a bit like, if you imagine a relative scale, and there's always going to be, imagine 1 to 10. Now, 2 to 3 is always going to be the level of ADHD, good elements and bad elements.
Right.
The scale's gone up, and my ADHD's gone up, so all the good things about my ADHD have got even better since I've changed my diet, changed my mindset, come out, stopped drinking, and looked at my lifestyle and become more active. But alongside with it, into a relative ratio, so it's the negative things. So now being in restaurants and noisy places, the overstimulation from it has gotten even worse. Sometimes the frustration gets even worse. So unfortunately, it's not like one changes without the other. And I don't know if that could be a personal thing, or it could be something other people relate to. But when things improve and you think, yeah, this is brilliant, sometimes those negative elements, and thankfully there aren't many, they're just disruptive, they can come in too. So the feeling of restlessness, the needing to do things all the time, needing to be active, need to be stimulated to thrill-seek, things like that. I say thrill-seek, let's put a caveat on that, thrill-seek in a naturally non-illegal way.
Well, yeah.
Thrill-seeking.
But Ben,
skateboarding.
If I can give you this advice, I mean, please don't get caught up in what you're supposed to do, that I have ADHD and we think this way and that way, because it's such a broad spectrum, you know.
No, this is stuff I want to do. This is stuff that helps my brain. It's not something I feel that I have to fit into a stereotype. This is stuff that makes me happier in my headspace.
So I've got to ask this question, though. I mean, why are you doing it now as opposed to when you were hiding it? I mean, no one would have known.
I've always been fairly active, but I've kind of just leveled myself down and committed to trying to fit in with whether it be family or friends and the things they want to do. And now I feel more that I need to let my brain reign and actually embrace the things mm-hmm. that it wants to do.
So it was holding you back.
Yes, that's
okay.
Probably
I get
way
it now. All right.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Ben, I want to give you a round of applause because, again, I
thank
dole
you.
These out. I don't, not to everyone, but the fact that you went the extra mile and you decided that, hey, I'm going to get out there and, hey, I've got ADHD. And the fact that somebody else inspired you, which is inspiring me to track down this Daniel Johnson, and maybe we can have him on the program thanks to your advice. And I never heard of the gentleman and up until this interview. And if people are listening and saying, yeah, I can do this too, yeah, you can. And if you're saying, no, I can't, well, reassess lives. I mean, yeah, some people just can't, and we have to accept that. But if more and more people come out, it's going to be to our benefit. And I thank you once again.
Yeah, and these people, if you are listening and you want to get in touch with me, I'd love giving out support where possible. What I'm finding about the Twitter and getting in touch with other people and organizations like your organization, Club ADHD, I want interaction. So if you want to come and follow my Twitter feed and get in touch with me and say hi, let me know what you think and talk. This all helps me as well as we help each other, because it is really isolating. I'm the only one I know in my area. There's probably quite a few that just I don't know about, but I'm the only one, and it can feel isolating. And Twitter's really other social medias is the only way I've really got to engage with other people that struggle, and it's been such a support. So those people that I do follow, those people that follow me back, and those interactions I have in the comments help me feel more a part of my people and people that understand what we go through and the struggles we have. Far too much to fit into a 45-minute interview. There's so much more to tell and to talk.
Well, Ben, it's a two-way street. It's a two-way street. We're helping you. You're helping us. And that's why, Club ADHD was formed, adults who all have ADHD that we can help each other. Now, you mentioned your Twitter account. What is your Twitter handle?
It's at Ben, lowercase, B-E-N, W, underscore, lowercase H. So that's at B-E-N for November, W, underscore, H.
Okay.
And you'll see a picture of me with a black T-shirt on and glasses and a T-shirt that says meh.
Okay, well, Ben, thank you again. Spread the word. ADHD is real, as you're doing now. Spread the word about Club ADHD would be most welcome. I welcome that. Once again, thank you for just the initiative that you've decided that, hey, I'm not going to hide this anymore. And if we can get more people to do it, we will all benefit from it. Thank you again, Ben.
Yeah. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for having me to interview and to talk about this. It's been a really nice, pleasurable experience. So thank you very much.
And once again, thank you, Ben, for taking the time to speak to us. And we wish you all the best as you continue to know more about your ADHD. And yeah, it is a journey, but it doesn't have to be a real bad one. It doesn't have to be bad at all. And that's why we're talking to these people wherever, because some of you right now might be thinking, well, they're doing well and they're succeeding. I just can't. Think positive. Think about our TNT today. Think about what Jason said. Ask yourself the questions that will help you get up and get going. That's what we're here for. We want to inspire you. And I've been inspired by all of the people I've spoken with and chatted online with Club ADHD, the podcast, the Twitter account, the Facebook page, and I hope you feel the same way. If you'd like to connect with our other elements of Club ADHD, it's simple. All you have to do is go to clubadhd.ca. The links are all there. Once again, I want to thank the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada for their support in this. And go to their website. I urge you, doesn't matter where you are in this world, lots of great information are sitting right on that website. Plus, they've got various initiatives that you can get involved in. All you have to do, visit their site. It's www.caddac, that's CADAC, that's CADDAC.ca. That'll get you to the Center for ADHD Awareness Canada website. Well, that wraps it up for this edition of Club ADHD, the podcast. I hope you found it informative, interesting, and maybe a little fun, too. Hey, we could use some fun in our lives, right? This is your cordial and ADHD host, Russ LeBlanc, wishing you all the best. And don't forget, whenever, wherever possible, shout it out. Shout it loud and proud. ADHD is real. Bye for now.